So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you here at Wrestling Weekly. It's Halloween, Les.
Okay, and I'm dressed up as Doc Young.
I'm dressed up tonight as Les Thatcher. I have the glasses going and everything.
You know what? We had a ring announcer several years ago this is when my mom was still alive, and she was in the hospital. I didn't get to go to the Halloween show that we ran at HWA, but my ring announcer did me for real. And did a pretty admirable job.
Did he like walk and try to talk like you too, or?
Well, he did, you know, some of my mannerisms, yes.
Yeah.
But I thought, I didn't see it live, but they showed it to me on tape and then some stills and stuff, and I thought, okay, cool, whatever.
That's awesome.
I don't, Halloween for me was kids. As an adult, dressing up and going to a party is just not my bag, but then that's cool.
Yeah, tonight I am dressing up as a sober person.
Okay, well, that'll be different.
Absolutely. We know it's Halloween, guys, and we tried to get the boogeyman, not the wrestler, but the real boogeyman, but he's busy.
Is there a real one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to talk about my childhood. But anyway, we did get the boogie-woogie man, so it's pretty close. He's going to be here tonight, Jimmy Valiant.
Yeah, it's woogie with boogie or something.
Absolutely.
Whatever.
And, of course, Sheldon Goldberg is going to be on the program tonight from New England Championship Wrestling, and he's also got a new women's promotion out. It's called World Women's Wrestling.
Yeah, I was a couple of years ago, I guess it's been now, that I was at one of his shows. I think it was in Framingham, Mass. I was up there doing a clinic. Anyway, yeah, he's combined with PWF Northeast. They've combined their promotions, and they've started this new women's league, and I think they run their TV show on their website, too.
Yeah, I believe they do.
Yeah.
Every week they have a different show on. We'll talk about that, too.
Yeah.
Before we start, though, tonight, I do want to say happy birthday to a good friend of mine. His name is Les Thatcher.
Oh, that was last Saturday.
I know, but I missed it because you weren't around.
Well, you know what? That's cool. Yeah, we just had a real quiet day at home, So the wife and I got a pizza and watched a couple movies. So
awesome.
It was cool. I enjoyed that, honestly.
Not a beer in the house, huh?
No, actually.
Now, you don't get MAV TV, Les, but...
No, I don't.
I do on my cable, and for the first time this week, this last week, I have actually seen an episode of Deep South Wrestling.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
Yes, my first episode. It actually looks pretty much like a regular indie show.
Uh-huh.
They have, right behind the ring on the wall, it looks like it's handwritten, and it says Deep South Wrestling, and then it has Christmas lights around it. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
This is what it looks like over there. And on the walls, they have banners for all the year's pay-per-views this last year.
We used to have a bunch of those, too.
Yeah. And this place is so small, though, that the banners reach floor to ceiling.
Yeah, we had ring skirts. Well, you know, that was a lot of that stuff was a problem. Joe may have gotten some of that stuff out of the old WCW, because I know a lot of those banners were all over the warehouse down there. But anyway, yeah, we had some of that stuff when I was with WWE.
They had some of the Armageddon.
And the ring skirts. I have still got a set of turnbuckle covers, the old purple ones with the gold WWF embroidered.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ring, it's eBay time.
No, it's, you know what? If they were worth $1 million, I'd probably sell. You know, if somebody's offering me a couple hundred or whatever, I'm not interested. You know, I mean, not, don't get me wrong, it's not like I got money to throw away, but it's just, you know, they're worth more than that to me sentimentally.
Right.
You know, so, but, yeah.
I think I would want to keep something like that, too.
And then CM Punk is going to do the Ghost Hunters or something tonight on Sci-Fi following ECW show.
Yes, right after ECW.
You know what? Since I was down with about twice a year, my sinuses drain, and one thing anyway. It's if you don't have sinus problems, if you don't live in the sinus belt like I do, you don't understand these problems. I've been having them since about 12 years old. Anyway, wasn't on last week. What happened with the TNA pay-per-view? Who won the picks?
I did, actually.
Oh, okay.
4-3, and it was the Sting pick that put it over the top.
Okay.
For me, so I was very...
You know, while we're on that particular subject, I was surprised that so many titles changed hands. The Sting thing didn't necessarily surprise me, but I'll tell you what
Lance
Storm, on his website last week, wrote a piece.
Right.
Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Basically saying what I've been saying.
Absolutely. I when I first read it, I thought he had been talking to you or something.
You thought Les had written it, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what, though? And here's the thing. Dave Shear on Insider mentioned that hopefully that the people in the company took this as free critique.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? They don't have to like what you say, but somebody with that kind of background, they should be paying attention. I know Ross has made basically the same comments I have, and I don't necessarily put myself in that category with those guys. But you know, I think most people within the industry who aren't trying to take the corporate stance or stroke somebody will say the same thing. I think the whole deal with Angle and Joe is just too soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to me, yes, everybody wants to see it. So why are we rushing it out there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't even have... And you know what I did notice this last Thursday on that show? And God, I hate to keep... You know, you know what I noticed, too? Ross does the same thing. Lance did the same thing. I tend to paraphrase by saying, and you know, we want them to succeed. Like, we have to make excuses for critiquing.
So, yeah, kind of.
Well, okay, so if we do, we don't. It's neither here nor there. You know, like they did the pull-apart. Well, how many pull-aparts are on that show last week? Do you have any idea?
3 or 4.
Yeah, exactly. So what do pull-aparts mean?
Nothing.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it's true, you know. Less is more in this industry, honestly. You know?
And you're not speaking about yourself this time.
No, I'm not speaking about myself. I'm speaking about less in L-E-double-S, opposed
right.
to one, opposed to my name with one S. No, you know, it's, when you see the same thing over and over and over, it's just, okay, it's there.
You know?
It kind of becomes like elevator music. You get on the elevator, you know it's there, you know it's playing, but you're paying no attention to it, basically.
Right.
It doesn't jump out at you, is, I guess, the point I'm trying to make. And I just, I would have saved the Angle Joe thing for somewhere next year.
Right.
You know, opposed to rushing it out there, which is not to say they can't have more than one match. They obviously can. But, I mean, again, I think the anticipation and giving fans who might be interested in that and yet aren't attuned to the fact that Angle and Joe are going to meet, give them a chance to tune in, too, you know, and take this after their move to the better time slot.
Yeah, I think TNA has this mistaken perception that the big match is going to be Kurt Angle versus Jeff Jarrett, but it's not.
Well, you know what? No, it's probably not. But you know, and again, the other thing I think they play off of, and I guess I'm saying this in the wrong wrong company, but to me, it's, you know, they work to the Internet. And I mean, our show is on the Internet, but still, if I were promoting today,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Internet, I wouldn't be working to you.
Right.
You know? I mean, not that I don't hear your negatives and positives, your feedback. I do, and I always pay attention to the fans' feedback, but then the fans aren't good bookers. I'm sorry.
You know? Right, and you can't tailor your whole show to
one
base.
No, you really can't. You really can't. I didn't make the Ring of Honor show last Friday night up here in Dayton, but I knew Brett Albright, Gunnar Scott made his debut. Tank Tolan made his debut there on that show. Our friend Jimmy Cornette's taking some time off, probably to do the throat again. Was it about a year or 2 years ago? He had to stop talking.
Right.
For a period of time, his vocal cords were strained.
I remember that, and it must have been killing him.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
If I know Jim Cornette,
sure he was probably. The only thing is, you can get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, he's probably furiously scribbling on pieces of paper.
And I say that with all due respect to him. He's a personal friend, and I respect him for what he's done in the business too. So I mean, I'm teasing when I
absolutely
I
yes
word in edgewise, you know. But you know, that's the thing that's amazing to me that apparently the down in TNA. They have stayed away from one another. He and
Russo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll give TNA credit for one thing. They haven't let Russo turn it into a freak show yet.
Not yet, but some of the illogical. Well, it's like that battle royal. You fight to get in the ring, and then you fight to get out of the ring.
Right.
Okay, whatever. Well, and like Storm made some good points. Aren't Joe and Angle probably the two would be two of the biggest contenders.
Right.
And there were guys in that match that have no business being there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? As entertaining as Eric Young is, he's hardly be considered as a contender for the World Heavyweight title.
It's sort of filler.
Yeah, well, you
they
know,
just want to get him out there
again,
and see,
it kills off the allure, the aura, whatever terminology you want to use of the title.
One of TNA's problems is they have talent from top to bottom, and they want to get them all out there, and they only have an hour to do it every week. And, you know, sometimes it ends up being filler. And some of these guys that deserve probably a better spot or a better storyline are just thrown in there just so they can be seen.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and again, I think the 12-man, 20-man, 5, 16-man, whatever.
Now, I think that's part of it, too.
It becomes nonsense. I mean, and it doesn't get anybody over. You know, because everyone is pretty much established. If you've been a wrestling fan, let's say, for 10 years, it's pretty well been established that in battle royals, anybody can win. Doesn't necessarily have to be the best wrestler. But then we turn around, and I say we in the context of the industry, and then try to say, okay, we're having a battle royal to pick the number one contender, after we've already told you that not necessarily the best wrestler is going to win a battle royal.
Right.
So, white man speak with forked tongue, as the old cowboy movies, the Indians used to say. It's true, though. We're talking out of both sides of our mouth.
And Stevie J is bringing up something in the chat room. He said about a month ago, you gave a speech on this show about how baby faces shouldn't slap hands with every single person in the crowd every single time they come out. So he says he was watching, they started showing Heartland Wrestling in his area a couple weeks ago on cable. And lo and behold, every baby face came out, slapped hands with everybody.
And you know what? I've been going over there and sitting down with their booker. And in fact, I'll be over there tomorrow night watching. I get their TV now. It's on the CW channel here at 2 to 3 in the Saturday afternoon. Good slot.
Mm-hmm.
They follow, and I get to watch OVW. Now, talk about production. OVW is good production. Danny's always done a good job down there. I think this is the weakest in terms of talent I have seen in OVW in years.
Really?
Well, they all look good. Physically, mm-hmm. They all look like athletes. They all look like wrestlers. But it's too many, you know, if you said, what did you see? And I saw a lot of guys trying to have aneurysms.
Yeah.
Grunting and flexing and everyone trying to do the over-the-top body language like Cena does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obviously not comfortable for everybody. But everybody, I guess, they're all thinking, well, this is what gets us over. You know,
right.
This is what's going to get me up to the dance. And, gosh, I just don't think so.
And you could tell they're affected when they're doing it, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I back up now, you know, when we were doing, when we had the WWE contract and we're doing our TV down at OVW every Sunday, Rob Conway, Nick Densmore, Doug Basham, Damage, Danny Basham, if you will. Those were the guys. Batista, Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin. That was the talent roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, and it's not to say that some of these kids probably don't have some potential, but it's obvious that they're, so many of them are green as grass right now.
Right.
You know, and they just, it comes across as that, too. You know, so it's not a lot of depth. But what they're saying in the chat about age, yes. I always, when I walk, I say, oh, somebody's running, must be at election time. They're running for mayor. Well, you know, it's. I also made the mention, everybody climbs the friggin' turnbuckle, too.
Right. We talked about that, too.
Mm-hmm. Rock started that, and now and everybody does it, and, of course, they have different finger signals.
Right.
You know.
Jeff Hardy's got this weird bunny thing going.
The way he does that, way he twitches like he's got some kind of disease when he comes out on the stage.
Yeah.
You know what? That gimmick hasn't changed in how many years?
Six.
Is he still an 18-year-old rebel?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay, just checking.
That's probably what they're telling him to still do, though. That's
I
how everybody knows him.
You know, but I talked to some other people in the industry were saying, you know, and these aren't people that necessarily work in the industry currently but still watch the product. And a couple of people I've talked to in the last week or so, why are they giving away all this on TV? You're asking the wrong person. I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
Well, but it's true, though. You know, 1 week it's Helmsley against Orton, the next week it's somebody else, you know, and then this ultimately is leading to a tag match. But my question is, if you're giving me all this and all the scenarios for free on Monday, why am I buying it for $40?
Yeah.
I mean, what am I going to see for $40 that I'm not seeing for free?
Right.
Again, I think it's, you know, you create some anticipation and, you know, it's just, of course, the MTV thing started. They're doing their production, what, starting the 11th, I think, or the 9th through the 11th or something like that of November.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Kevin Kleinrock next
yes.
week.
All right. Have we got him lined up?
I have sent him a message with the date, and we're waiting to hear back on him.
All right. So. Kevin Kleinrock is vice president of Big Vision Entertainment, and he and I go back some 10-plus years when he was booking a small indie out on the West Coast, and we started corresponding back and forth. And he's you talk about coming a long way.
Absolutely.
You know, and yeah, so, and from what I understand, this particular, the World Society, Wrestling Society X,
mm-hmm.
Is going to show on MTV 1, 2, Trace, which is the Spanish station, and I think on their website.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's that's strong exposure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a little bit different from what I heard. It's going to be more
but from what I understand, and of course we'll get all this, you know, all this skinny from Kevin when we have him on the show. But understand it's going to be, they're going to try to put serious storylines and try to stay away, as I won't say totally, as much as possible from the WWE concept.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a good thing.
It certainly is not a bad thing.
Want to give big congratulations to Kurt Angle and his wife Karen. They had their second child.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was a boy, couple's first son.
Cool.
So that's congratulations great. To the Angle family. Bad news though. Last Tuesday, while we were doing the show, Dave Taylor was injured at the SmackDown ECW tapings.
Yeah, that is a shame. Dave's a good guy. I know I watched a SmackDown the week before. Taylor, Regal, Finlay, Benoit. I'm thinking, man, I mean, there's some solid workers there. I mean,
mm-hmm.
really, guys who can put together a good, solid mat-based match and draw you in, you know, and throw Jamie Noble in with those guys and even Michaels and Helmsley and... you know, you've got some good solid stuff there.
In my opinion, not much is being done with these SmackDown guys, especially the guys like you mentioned, like Taylor.
Well, I would have
Finlay.
Thought with Benoit being out so long that they would have brought him back much stronger.
Yeah, it seemed like they did at first for a couple weeks, and then they just, okay, he's back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it went back to what it was before he got injured.
You're right.
But Taylor tore a meniscus muscle in his left knee, and he was scheduled for surgery on Friday. So we don't know exactly how successful that was or when he is going to return, but we wish you, of course, to return soon, Dave Taylor.
Yeah, Dave's, like I say, Dave's a good guy. Second generation, he started wrestling about the same age as Regal, about the age 15. His dad was a star as a wrestler and also a promoter in England. And Dave spent some time with me up here, and when I had the WWE contract, helping, you know, as my assistant trainer. And yeah, he's a good guy, and I'm looking forward to you know, him coming back. Hopefully, that knee is not as bad as it could possibly be. So.
Also in WWE news, Tim Horner and Ted DiBiase are both gone from WWE now as road agents. Which,
and Tully Blanchard is hired.
Yes, and Tully Blanchard is now in.
Yeah.
He's going to be taking over the spot that Jimmy Garvin quit a couple weeks ago.
You know what? I don't. And we might get Horner on. I haven't talked to Timmy. I haven't talked to Timmy in a while. In fact, since he was with the company or since he's left. But. You know, with DiBiase, I don't know. They're saying that, you know, the story is he's a little behind the times. I can buy into that if he's not paying attention to the current product,
mm-hmm.
You know, which is that was a deal with Greg Gagne, as far as I can understand.
Right.
You know, that he just wasn't up on the current product. And with Timmy, I don't know.
It's possible. I mean, DiBiase didn't spend a lot of time since he retired, you know, watching wrestling. He was into his ministry and doing that kind of work.
Right.
And I don't think he paid too much attention to how things evolved since he had been gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's a kind of revolving door, too, because it's going to end up there looking for what, I'm not sure what they're looking for, but they're, you know, there's going to be guys that won't fit regardless of their beliefs about the business.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's a pressure cooker. It really is.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to do it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, well, you know what? When I say, you know, I've had people say, "Wouldn't you like to be an agent?" No, I wouldn't. That's a tough job those guys are doing behind the scenes. There really is.
Yeah, there's not a lot of thanks to it either.
No.
No glory. Eric Bischoff, in his new book, Controversy Creates Cash, is going to debut on the November 5th New York Times nonfiction bestseller list at number 16.
Wow, that's strong.
That's going to make it the highest-ranked WWE book since Ric Flair's To Be a Man book in 2004.
My question would be how much of a slant is put on it toward WWE since they're the publishers?
It's possible, but I did read one of Mick Foley's books, and Mick had told in the book that he asked Vince McMahon if he wanted to look at it before it was published and before it was edited, and he said no. If whatever you say is how you feel, then put it in there. Don't know how true that is or not, or if that really happened.
You know, it's just, and when I say, I won't say it amazes me, what makes me scratch my head in wonderment sometimes is, okay, you've won the war, so what's the problem with writing the history the way it actually was?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you've come out on top. I mean, whatever your minuses or your pluses, if they don't balance out, you still came out the winner. And war, whether it's a wrestling war or a war between two countries, is not a pretty thing to start with.
Right.
You know, and there's an underbelly to all that stuff.
Well, it's just like real life. The winners dictate what the story was. As far as the war,
yeah, it's like I'm not very politically minded, and it's just I said a lot of one of the reasons our country has a great puts a great spin on everything.
Mm-hmm.
We've never done anything wrong, have we?
Mm-mm.
Okay, don't get me started on that.
Right, that's a whole different show.
I won't even go there.
And it's a 4-hour show.
Yeah, but
not even a 2-hour.
You know, but to me it's I've read a couple of the books where I've seen the spin go, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, he really doesn't feel this way, or they, you know.
Right.
Again, it's kind of to the appeasement of the publishers. And I would rather see the candid. That's what people have said to me. When are you going to write your autobiography? And I said, when all my friends and my enemies are dead.
Then you could tell the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The Wrestling Observer is reporting that The Marine, starring John Cena, fell to number 13 this week in its third week in theaters. The film took in an estimated $2 million, actually a 1.9.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't, but the previews looked really good.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, the trailers, the rushes, you know, they looks like a decent action flick. I don't know what everybody's looking for, but again, you know, it also comes back to the reality that right now WWE pretty much has a locked-in audience. It's not growing or it's not shrinking. It's just people that are into what they're doing. And that's pretty much what you're going to see in the movie theaters, I think, you know, will be a reflection of that. I honestly wouldn't mind seeing it, you know.
Yeah.
Because I like John. And like I said, I wouldn't buy a ticket expecting to, you know, to see an Academy Award performance out of anybody. But just because I know John, for no other reason, I would like to see it at some point in time.
Yeah.
But they will continue to make more movies.
Absolutely. So far, WWE Films is.
And you know what? Is it not amazing? All the years that people, when kayfabe was ruled the nation. People would say, you guys are good actors, and now we're proving that we're not. So I don't even have to, that's not even an argument anymore. No, we're not.
The film company, though, is a success technically. I mean, they've made money on both their movies
well,
so far.
You know, I think the Kane movies, the See No Evil movie was profitable because it had a lower budget.
Right.
And this thing with all the car wrecks with all the special effects, created a higher budget, and from what I can tell, and again I'm no expert in that field, but I would be the first to say so. It appears that they're going to end up losing money on this one.
No, actually they've already cut even on it.
Have they?
Yeah.
Well, now they've cut even on the budget of making the movie.
Right.
But not the like advertisement and so forth and so on.
Right. DVDs and rentals usually cover that.
You know, but the European thing, I understand, like with See No Evil, it died in Europe.
Really?
On the continent. Yeah, it did not do well over there at all.
I would have thought it would have done a lot better because they don't get to see WWE guys a lot over there.
Well, you know, it's hard to say. Now, Cena may do better in Europe, you know, than Kane did. It may depend on how hot you are, or you know. Now I remember Ricky Starr, who was a featured wrestler here in this country in the late 50s and in the 60s. Did some movies in England that were, I guess, you know, pretty successful. But you know, a lot of people from David Hasselhoff, right, goes over to Europe and sings and is a top flight guy. In the music industry over there, or at least I shouldn't say it, you know, he's not the Beatles, but...
In Germany, he's
but,
hot.
It does well there, and where he doesn't do any kind of business at all here, so...
Right.
You know.
You never know.
Yeah, you're right. It's hard to tell.
More WWE news. You're going to have to help me with this last name, because I know it, but I always have trouble pronouncing it, but Afa Anoa.
Anoa, yeah.
Anoa. Junior, the son of Walt Samoan Alpha, signed a deal with WWE. He was in Deep South Wrestling not too long ago for a week-long evaluation, and they signed him to a developmental.
Yeah.
Don't know where he's going yet, but Deep South is an option.
Yeah. Well, speaking of moving people around, Turkey and Elijah Burke have gone to ECW, right?
Right, along with Daivari and the Great Khali.
And Daivari is wrestling, and Khali is the
manager.
Okay, you know what? And honestly, that makes more sense.
It actually does.
I mean, it really does. Yeah, it really does.
Except if you're thinking in the sense that, you know, if you need a bodyguard, how tough of a wrestler are you? But then again, it's the Great Khali. So you're like...
Well, you know, it's like last night on Raw when Helmsley, to me, his promo was good up till he held up the sledgehammer. You know?
Yeah.
Which is like some football defensive guy saying, "Hey, if I can't stop you, I'm carrying a baseball bat under my pads." You know, okay,
right.
Well, good. Hey, he's going to hit the guy with a baseball bat. That's cool. No, I just think that's all those things where they feel that it's embellishing. I think it's doing the opposite, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes something away from the Well, you know, it's again, you go back to how UFC has built their last two big pay-per-views. It is they're basically doing what we did 30 years ago or 40 years ago. You know, making titles mean something, and making two personalities that clash come together for the common goal of one of us is going to, you know, win a title.
Right.
You know, and the big the guy who wins gets the bigger payday. It's not brain surgery, but it sure works.
Yeah.
You know.
And some of these guys should be looking at that and seeing, hey,
yeah,
the old formula still works.
Well, you know, I understand modernization. I don't understand why you're trying to reinvent the wheel. I'll go to my grave with that. I just don't see it.
Right.
I don't see the value in it.
In TNA news at the Impact Zone last Monday, the staff of Midway Games was there. They are going to be producing TNA's first ever video game, TNA Impact. That's going to be out next year. They're doing some scans of TNA's roster for the game, as well as crowd shots of the Impact Zone and the sounds of the crowd. They're actually going to use real crowd audio and chants for this game. So they were also recording that stuff as well. And they showed some of the wrestlers the video renderings of AJ Styles for the game. And the reports are it was very realistic, very detailed, so much so that you could actually see a scar on Styles' lip that he got during a Samoa Joe match.
Huh. You know, I think it was, I forget what website it was, because I go out and surf a little bit, at least every other day, to see what's going on in the wrestling world. But somewhere they were previewing, I think it was Raw versus SmackDown, and it was Cena and Angle. And I was amazed by how realistic, you know, you obviously knew who it was without being told.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole thing. You know, I'm not, you and D'Lo started talking about your MP3 62570 Xbox over, and I said, okay, I don't know all that stuff. It's just I'm not into it, truthfully. But
now you know how I first felt when we first started doing the show together, and you had all the legends on.
Yeah.
And you were like, "Hey, remember back in '72?" And I'm just like,
"Well, you know what? I mean, I didn't mind because I just sat and listened, and it gives me a break from actually having to think. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I do think occasionally.
Yeah.
That's been questioned about me. I had a brain or not, but yes, I do think.
Have you heard the talk about a demolition reunion?
No.
They're talking in the chat room about a demolition reunion. It's not something that I have heard of.
No.
They're talking about, I believe, Billy D getting back together with WWE. I'm trying to look for it right now. And I really can't, but they keep asking about this in the chat room. Okay, it says if... What I mean is if Bill Eady and Barry Darso would be interested in reuniting, making a comeback. I know that past history between Eady and WWE, but what do Doc and Les think about Demolition reuniting and coming back?
I don't, you know what, Bill is a personal friend. I worked with him extensively in the Mid-Atlantic area, the Charlotte, you know, for the Crockett's. I still see him occasionally. I'm not interested in reuniting anybody. Old wrestlers should be old wrestlers.
You think?
Yeah, I guess the occasional Legends match and stuff is okay, but I don't understand. And I guess part of it is because I'm on the inside, and I've worked with the majority of these guys when they were in their prime, and I know they're not in their prime currently.
Right.
You know, so it's just
I know, I like a short 1-2-shot reunion, something like that for nostalgia purposes, but to bring them back and have them back full-time,
yeah,
and go on the road with the kids.
No,
I
think, you know, the deal, like when they tried out with the Road Warriors. Well, of course, you know, with Mike being gone, but
right.
Joe and Heidenreich or Joe and anybody, I just, it's... You know, or how much is Tatanka? Well, Tatanka was a lot more over, I guess, you know, back when he actually first made his debut in WWE or WWF at the time. But this whole thing they're trying to do with him now, where he nailed Lashley on, you know, Friday night and stuff, I just don't think it's getting over. I really don't.
Right.
You know, And I'm not averse to these guys making a healthy payday if they indeed can, but I just, I don't know. It's just, it's not my cup of tea, let's put it that way.
Have you heard the stuff about Tracy Smothers in the last week?
Yes.
He's supposedly at, went to court on Thursday. His girl, I don't know if it's his ex-girlfriend or his girlfriend currently, had pressed harassment charges on him.
Well, she says it's just to get him the medical help that he needs.
Yeah.
And Tracy does, and let me say this, Tracy does have some mood swings. I think everyone, Steve Armstrong, Bob Armstrong, Brad Armstrong,
the Armstrong family.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know, guys that are just well, Cornette. We all love Tracy,
mm-hmm.
but Tracy, you know, has his shortcomings, as we all do.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's come down to what she says, then I say, yeah, you know. And if that she says the doctor said he should have gotten out of the business 10 years ago.
Right.
If that is the case, then I say, you know, then he should be out. I mean, I'm more concerned with his health than...
Well, she describes it as sort of like a, I'm paraphrasing, but like a Rocky syndrome.
Yeah.
That he's been hit in the head so many times that he's actually suffering from brain damage, and that's what's causing his mood swings.
Well, I don't doubt that. She says something like 34 concussions. I don't know if that's a high amount, but you realize this, that Troy Aikman hung up his football cleats early. Because to the tune of like 9 concussions or something, right? And so if he's had 34, my God, that's, you know, almost 4 times as many. And that certainly doesn't bode well for his health,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm, you know, and again, I don't care if it's Angle or Smothers or who it is. These guys, you know, I want to see them, you know, live to a ripe old age and enjoy their life.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope it works out for Tracy. I really, you know, he's a good guy, and I mean, you know what? And he loves to work with the young guys and work, you know, as a trainer. And it's a shame that he can't get a full time position doing that somewhere.
Yeah, he certainly does. I met him last year at an indie show, and we talked for a little while. He's a really nice person.
Yeah.
Not an ego kind of guy.
No.
Pretty much, he was the kind of guy who could laugh at himself, and I like that about him.
Yeah, Tracy. I guess I have no problems with Tracy. He's always been aces with me, and I, you know, I can say whatever. You know, I'm sure she's more attuned to what's going on by living with him on a day-to-day basis than any of us. So
right.
You know, if that's the case, then I hope that he takes it seriously and you know, and gets the help he needs.
Absolutely. On that note, guys, we are going to take a break. Coming up in the show, we've got the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. He's going to be on the program. And coming up after this break, Sheldon Goldberg from New England Championship Wrestling and the new women's promotion, World Women's Wrestling. He's going to be joining us. Also, Les, Cyber Sunday's coming up.
Oh, my goodness.
And that means it's time to play the pay-per-view prediction game.
Oh,
Coming up.
I'm so excited.
Yes. Coming up in hour number two. But like I said, Sheldon Goldberg right after this, guys. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Stick around. We'll be right back.
We know you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Here's the latest news and information on on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hi, my name is Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Welcome back, guys. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, the owner-promoter of New England Championship Wrestling. He's also got a new women's promotion out that we spoke about earlier. It's called World Women's Wrestling. Sheldon Goldberg is on the program. Sheldon, thanks for being on Wrestling Weekly this week.
It's my honor and my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
It is Halloween, and I know you probably have some candy to give out and stuff like that, but you took your time out to be with us, so we appreciate that.
Well, my pleasure.
Doc, are you trying to get some candy for yourself? You expect Sheldon to box it up and ship you some or something?
Well, you know, if it's not going to be used, you know what?
Let's start this off, Doc, what we were kind of talking about before we came back on the air. Sheldon's company, New England Championship Wrestling, how long have you been in business, actually, Sheldon?
This is our seventh year.
Seventh year, okay. Mm-hmm. They, back in late winter, early spring, merged with another company in New England, PWF Northeast.
Correct.
And we were talking before we went on the air. Things have actually gotten better because it's taken some of the guesswork out of getting talent for you guys, and you're taking the best from both promotions and basically pushing those guys, right?
That's right. There was a lot of overlap and duplication before. You know, you'd see a lot of guys who were working for us showing up on their shows and vice versa. And Matt and Kyle Storm were always very, you know, friendly towards me and respectful towards me. And when the opportunity came about to join forces, it was just business wise and booking wise, and in every way, it was the right thing to do. And it's been, as I said to you during the break, it's been an extremely happy marriage for us. So.
Yeah, you know, of course, Evan and Eddie Edwards,
right.
Some of the kids that I've had a chance to work with, those young guys, I think, have got a tremendous future in this business.
I agree with you, and they all have tremendous attitudes, which is really important. They're guys who want to learn, and they want to know, and they want to go everywhere, and they want to experience things, and their minds are open, they're willing to listen, and they're always ready to contribute. So, there's a lot. We're very blessed with having a crew that has, you know, that type of positive attitude. Like, you know, hey, I know that I have something to learn, and I know that I can improve, and I want to try to build this thing up and do what's right, not just for myself but for business. So, that's been something that I'm very, very grateful for.
That's good. I was telling Doc when he told me you were going to be on tonight. Was it Framingham where I came to your show?
That's correct.
Yeah. Doc, these buildings, it's ideal for independent wrestling. It's one of the community center?
Framingham Civic League is what the building's called.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll tell you something interesting. The Rock's new movie that he's working on now, portions of it are shot in the building.
Ah.
And they just actually renovated it. Disney actually gave the Civic League a whole bunch of money to renovate the building specifically for the shooting of the movie. So
great,
awesome. And you've got your promotion on the internet. They have a weekly TV show at NECW.TV, right?
Right. We were the first company. We've actually been doing this now for about 2 years. We were the first company to do an original weekly TV produced specifically for the internet. And we've gotten tremendous publicity from it over the years. We get thousands of views every week. And, it's not something that is a substitute for conventional television.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a mechanism that does two things. One is it gives people a window into our product, which is very important. If you don't have conventional TV, and it's very difficult, expensive, and so forth, and in this era of television, to make that leap on conventional television, this was the next best thing. This was a way to get our product in front of people, but also build up to the point that we could be on conventional television. So, because once you're in the habit of doing a weekly TV and you know what it takes to do that, and you've proven that you can deliver a product on a weekly basis, well, you know, that puts you a lot closer to actually being able to make that leap onto conventional TV. And we are working on that, so.
Let me ask you a question. How did you get involved in, I mean, you haven't wrestled yourself. How did you get involved?
Only with my conscience. And I've never won a match in that one either, so. But it's a long story, and I'll give you the very short version of it. I was a wrestling fan since I was a little kid. I was 8 years old. I'm 50 now, so I've been watching wrestling for a long time. I've always been involved in some aspect of the entertainment business. I used to do publicity for Broadway shows and shows on tour years ago, and I produced plays at one point in time. And I worked quite a bit in the theater district, and where I worked was right around the corner from a man by the name of Abe Ford.
Okay.
So,
I know that name.
Right. Abe Ford used to be the local promoter here in Boston. Back in the days when Vince Sr. was running things. I remember going to some of the old Santos shows at the Boston Arena, and I've got some old programs, actually, from some of those shows.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been watching for a long time. So I knew Abe Ford, and I'd had, you know, sort of brief interaction with him here and there. But there was a guy that I met when I was involved in advertising and publicity for Broadway shows. A guy by the name of Joe Perkins. Does this name ring a bell to you, Les?
No.
Not to me.
Joe Perkins was a guy who went back to Vince Sr., and he used to place the WWF TV shows in syndication.
Okay.
And this is a guy, I mean, I don't want this to sound like a put down or anything, but like, he looked like the guy who would be the least likely to be involved in professional wrestling. Like, if Wally Cox had kids, this guy was the proof. You know? So, I knew this guy, and I'm like, and being the fan that I was, and having met, you know, Abe Ford, and sort of knowing the background of what went on there, and so I'm talking to this guy, and I got to know him very well. In fact, he invested in a couple of plays that I produced. You know, he was telling me about, you know, what he did, and, you know, how he was making all this money and all this, and I said, yeah, if this guy can make that kind of money in professional wrestling without being dropped on his rear end, maybe there's hope for me. So I, you know, you hang around the circus long enough, somebody hands you a red nose and says, go out there. I actually published a newsletter for collectors of wrestling memorabilia for a while. And I was helping out Killer Kowalski a little bit here and there and going to some of his shows because I was very fascinated with independent shows.
Mm-hmm.
And the independent show was a relatively recent convention. It's funny, I was having a conversation with Howard Brody the other night, and he was saying how Vince McMahon invented independent wrestling by making all the territories disappear. But to answer the question, I, you know, knew a lot of people through contacts like, you know, Ford and Kowalski and so forth, and hung around, and it was something that I loved, and I felt that my the skills that I had, you know, doing publicity and marketing for, you know, theatrical productions, there was a lot of overlap in terms of skills, and, you know, people were coming to me saying, hey, can you help me with such and such, and, you know, design me a poster, write a press release, whatever, and that was my entree. I did some stuff with Killer Kowalski, then I went, I met a guy by the name of Tony Rumble.
Okay.
I'm sure you're familiar with.
Sure, no, Tony.
Tony and I became very close, and I worked with Tony for about 5.5 years, and until he passed away in November of 99. And after his passing, guys had come to me and said, hey, you know, why don't you try to do this? And I gave it some thought, some very serious thought, and decided to launch New England Championship Wrestling. So that's sort of the thumbnail sketch of how I got from...
And now you're hooked.
Yeah, well, it took a long time ago, you know. I loved Rumble like a brother. He was... I would have jumped off the roof of my building here for him.
When I first met him, he was just running errands for the Sivoldis.
Right.
When we were doing that TV up there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah.
He was a guy who... Wrestling was the godsend to his life, because I don't think he even... It sounds like a funny statement, but I don't even think he was born until he got into pro wrestling. He was a kid whose parents died young. He kind of kicked around from place to place, and when he found wrestling, or when wrestling found him, that was the perfect marriage. And you know, he was a really street smart guy, and you know, he promoted around here for about 6.5 years until his passing, and was just a super super guy, and was responsible for helping a lot of people, and there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about him.
Right, I understand. I do.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your girls' promotion. I haven't seen any. Now, I remember seeing Mercedes Martinez when I was at your show.
Right.
And that was the first time I'd seen her, and I was blown away. Doc, she throws a punch as good a right hand as most guys.
Yes, I've seen Mercedes.
Than some, honestly.
I've seen Mercedes in action.
Yeah, but I'm sure she's one of the girls you're using. But are you bringing girls in from around the country for this?
We bring girls in here and there. It depends on. Right now, we're trying to keep our crew within drivable distance to us, because what's happened? Here's the sort of the short story behind World Women's Wrestling. About a year or so ago, when Bob Evans was still booking for me, I ran two all-women shows. Bob hates women's wrestling. Thought it was a heresy, thought it was a terror. And look, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But this was something that I felt, and thanks to Mercedes, actually, and some of the girls that we brought in to face her here and there, thought that it was a viable thing, and, you know, there were enough girls in the area or within driving distance to the area that we could, you know, kind of do something with this. And, you know, we did the two shows, and they were successful. And after the merger happened, we decided, I learned something in the process. Rather than just calling them New England Championship Wrestling shows, we gave it its own brand name and called it World Women's Wrestling and, you know, trademarked the name and so forth. And then at that point, it took off like a rocket. Once we had that first show, we got more publicity on that first show than I think NECW has gotten in the whole 6.5 years of its existence.
How long ago was that first show?
It was about a year ago. The first Triple W show?
Yes.
March.
March.
This past March, yes. So we planned six shows for this year, and we're going monthly after this month. So it's been a terrific success for us. Our plan with this is to be just as much of a house show company as a DVD type thing. And, you know, Dave Prazak, who's a very good friend of mine who has the Shimmer promotion,
right,
that's more envisioned just for taping DVDs. I mean, we're trying to do things with the girls that typically are only done with guys,
mm-hmm,
which is giving them longer matches, setting them up in programs, reversing the roles a little bit. We have one like mixed tag or some role for minor role for guys on each show because I thought it would be kind of an interesting twist.
You know what? You mentioned Bob not liking women's wrestling. I have always enjoyed women's wrestling when it's wrestling. I'm not crazy about, you know, the way some of it's gone with WWE and so forth. And
absolutely.
So that to me is a real come down. I'm not adverse to good looking girls, yes, as long as they can work.
Sure, absolutely. And you know, I think there's, you know, not every girl is, you know, a Playboy model or is, you know, a surgically enhanced girl who's just looking to stand around and look good.
Sure.
I mean, there are girls out there, you know, an interesting thing has happened over the last maybe 5-6 years is that you have, and I think this kind of started with the Hardy Boys and Lita, where a lot of girls kind of saw her and saw some of the other girls at the time and kind of identified with that and said, hey, maybe there's a place for me in wrestling. And they started going to schools. And more than likely, they were training with guys like guys. And so you've got a generation of girls now who are pretty competent workers. And you know, unfortunately, the way most shows or independent shows are run, the women are still viewed as a special attraction. And they only get one match, if that, and generally speaking, it's a shorter match. So, I mean, we had some pretty talented girls around here who just because of you know, what a typical independent show, how a typical independent show is put together, just in that structure, that we weren't able to give them the match time, we weren't able to give them kind of the space to perform. So, you know, I thought that the World Women's Wrestling experiment would be a way to see what would happen if you actually did that. And so far it's working out really, really well. So
that's great. That's
sounds
great.
Good.
Billy Wolf, which most young people would not know that name. But
right.
If you've seen Lipstick and Dynamite.
Yeah.
Billy Wolf was the impresario of women's wrestling,
mm-hmm,
in the 50s. Of course, he was based just 100 miles from me here.
Right.
In Columbus, and so all those, most of those ladies from Lipstick and Dynamite, and even a whole bunch that weren't on there, ended up, you know, they were all channeled through Cincinnati and through the Al Haff promotion here.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to see. In fact, I was just talking to my wife about this just the other night.
Right.
She was watching Lipstick and Dynamite. Is that Al Haff, at that point, had probably the largest promotion in the country and was booking like 60 to 70 wrestlers on a steady basis. But
right,
he ran a heavyweight tournament, a junior heavyweight tournament, and a women's tournament.
Wow.
You know, on all three of his Dayton, Cincinnati, and Columbus TVs, and then, like, would have the blow-off for the finally the final matches
in either one of the big arenas in one of those three cities. But
right.
He featured the women and made them into something.
Yeah.
You know, and then it kind of spiraled down, and then it came back again, and then it got to where it was basically a TNA show, and I'm not talking about total nonstop action.
Right, right.
You know, but there's some great women workers over the years, and I'm sure, Sheldon, so you've been a fan for so long.
You know, I used to go to Mueller used to have those conventions in Las Vegas.
Yes, right, I remember.
I would go to those things religiously because, first of all, I really love Mueller. I think she's a great lady, and I love Mae Young, and I love a lot of those ladies. And I just always found them to be fascinating to talk to because, I mean, let's face it, back in those days, I mean, you didn't see very many women in professional sports, period.
Right.
Not to say, you know, back in the day when those ladies were coming up, you know, to go to your parents and say, hey, Ma, I want to be a professional wrestler. I mean, that's a pretty big leap. You got to be a pretty amazing person just to be able to do that. So I always had great respect for those gals, and I always felt that women's wrestling didn't get the respect that it actually deserved. So.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
What kind of ladies do you got right now on your roster?
Oh, boy. Our champion's Nikki Rocks, who's a terrific girl. She's, mm-hmm. I think, one of the best female workers in North America right now. And, you know, these girls are pretty well-traveled. I mean, Nikki Rocks has wrestled in Mexico. She's wrestled in Japan. She's wrestled in England. She's wrestled all over the country. And, you know, that's another thing. We have a young girl named Ariel who works with us, and she's out of New Bedford, Massachusetts. And here's a girl that, at 19 years old, has already been to Japan a couple of times, goes to Mexico on a fairly regular basis. I mean, these girls are a lot of these girls are just as, you know, their resumes are just as impressive as any guy. And it's amazing that, you know, what kind of talent we have. We've got a girl out of New Jersey. She's out of Kevin Knight School. And her name is Jana, and she's a great girl. I think she's got a ton of potential. We have a couple of girls that were trained by Steve Bradley, one girl in particular, Tanya Lee, who's a great girl. She's going to do some great things. She's just kind of coming into her own right now. Now we've got about 20 girls or so that work for us from all up and down the East Coast. And
that Ariel, I saw her on Matt and Kyle's show,
mm-hmm.
that weekend that I was up there and came to your show. Yeah, she's...
Right.
I was impressed with her, too.
I mean, these girls are incredibly well-traveled for their age, and they're incredibly poised in the ring. You know, they get a kind of experience that the guys don't necessarily get because, you know, girls still being viewed to some extent as a special attraction, you know, they're going to go places and have opportunities to travel that guys don't generally get to do unless they really... they're on the phone or in the emails really trying to go places and are really, you know, willing to get in their car and
sure
travel a long distance for gas money and a hamburger.
Well, you know, you were talking about the respect that for the lady wrestlers. I know during my career span, 1960 to 1980 in ring,
mm-hmm.
and if you really, I mean, we, you know, we talk about how we spent, you know, most of our waking hours in cars and it's, but for at least we could go to a territory and settle in. And these girls could not do that.
Right.
I mean, for them, like Charlotte territory was a big territory, so maybe the same two or four girls could work there for a couple weeks. And they
right.
were close to home because they were based in Columbia, South Carolina, just 100 miles to the south. But
mm-hmm.
For the most part, they were in and out of a territory in just a week's time. So they were legitimately living out of suitcases.
Right, right. You know, I remember up here growing up, you know, every show at the Boston Garden, you either had a women's match or a midget match.
Did you ever get to see Alma Mills?
You know, I don't think I ever saw
her. She worked in Santos's office. She trained a bear.
Oh, wow.
And you talk about a tough lady. She got the bear from somebody in a carnival or circus anyway, and she was told by all the animal trainers that the bear was too old to be trained.
Wow.
But she had, you know, the idea she was going to train that bear, and she did, and had the scars to prove it. I guess Alma's passed away by now.
Yeah.
But she worked in Santos's office and wrestled, too. But talk about a tough lady. I remember in, I think it was Providence, anyway, somebody was using, well, for the time anyway, this was back in the early 60s, foul language. And Alma went out of the ring, stood over the guy and paintbrushed him.
Oh, wow.
In the front row. And I'll never forget seeing that. I was like a 19-year-old kid at the time, right? I'm thinking, oh, my God. She was a tough one. Mary Jane Moll.
Yep.
And Lucille Dupre, who was from Pawtucket.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all strong workers.
Yep. You know, you got in those days, especially, you know, to get into the business, you know, they had to be pretty strong individuals just to get in the business to begin with.
Right. Exactly.
You know, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to start in 07, and you're going to be running a girls show at least once a month along with your regular New England Championship Wrestling.
That's club. Right. That's right. And, you know, it's interesting. The guys that are working with me now, Matt, Kyle, the whole crew there, are so behind the girls. It's amazing. They're just, you know, so enthralled by seeing it all unfold and seeing it take off. And it has a positive effect on the other shows, because now whenever we have a women's match on our NECW shows, and we always have one, it's billed as a World Women's Wrestling feature match, and you see fans showing up at both.
Great.
So they're sort of cross-promoting each other, which is, you know, the right way to do it on this level.
Yeah. Awesome. Check it out, guys. NECW.TV, that's New England Championship Wrestling, their TV program. Do you have a website for the Women's League?
Yes, we do. It's worldwomenswrestling.com.
All right, check it out, guys. Sheldon Goldberg here on Wrestling Weekly. Sheldon, thanks for being on, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Please give my best to your crew, and hey, I'm always enjoy coming to New England, so if you, you know...
We enjoy having you. We're going to try to make that happen sometime in 07.
I appreciate it.
Take care, Lex.
Good talking to you. Take care of yourself.
Likewise. Doc, thanks again for having me on. Appreciate
it. No problem. Absolutely.
Good night.
Good night.
Sheldon Goldberg here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. Well, Les... It's getting to be about that time before we have our featured guest, Jimmy Valiant, on the show tonight. It is time to play the pay-per-view prediction game.
But here's my first question is, since it's multiple choice and they won't know till Sunday night, how are we going to know?
This is going to be weird. Let's take a look.
Well, then it is our show, if it's weird.
Let's take a look at the... And see what sense we can make out of this, and see if we can even do this.
Didn't they just add a new one, too? I saw somewhere on the web today. They added a match?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, go with what you got, kid.
All right. There is a four-team tag team match. It's going to be Viscera and Charlie Haas versus Crime Time versus Caden Murdoch versus the Highlanders.
Okay. Wow. Well, if I were making the call, I'd put Caden Murdoch over. I'm not making the call, obviously. Now, is all four of the teams, or just, I think, isn't it, yeah, that they picked, I think that was the new quirk that they threw out today, that these guys, that the fans get to pick the type of match. Whether it's a Texas Tornado, which would mean all four teams at the same time in the ring.
Oh, really? No, I haven't heard that one.
Or some, I forget, there's three picks anyway. Like I say, initially, I see some strong upside to Murdoch and Cade and strong heels. I think Charlie and Viscera will probably, this is one of their final times together, I think, because I think there's some other things in the work for those guys that I've heard. But they'll probably end up putting the Highlanders over.
You think so?
I kind of do. Well, or maybe Crime Time.
Yeah.
But again, my call would be Caden Murdoch, so let's go with Caden Murdoch for me.
All right. As for my prediction, I only got one thing to say. Pop a Fody and check your rollies. I think Crime Time's going over.
Okay.
I've always wanted to say that live somewhere.
Well, now that you've done it, we can all take a deep breath.
Yeah, and we can never, ever do it again. Crime Time, I like what I'm seeing so far of Crime Time.
You
I
do.
Think they're funny, and I think they're
pretty... Well, like I said, like I didn't say last week, I did say, I don't know, I told you 2 weeks ago, the Spirit Squad earned their money by just getting those guys over.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. I mean, when I say this, I don't even know these two guys, but they're not. Their in ring is not strong.
No, they just came out from OVW. Pretty
yeah,
young
I know.
Guys. They were.
But please understand, for those listening too. To me, that's where I start my critique is, you know. You can be a cut a great promo. You can have a great body. If you can't work in the ring, then if I am the booker, then or the writer or whatever the hell you want to call it, you probably won't be starting for me.
Yeah, with less, it's technical ability first, and then it spans out from there.
Well, you know what? Let's use prime time as an example. In 3 and 4 minute deals, where 10,000 people are running in and they can hide any of their inadequacies.
Mm-hmm.
You can't throw them out there for a 25 minute match and hide their inadequacies.
Right.
There's just no possible way.
Right.
Even the greatest workers in the world can't do that. So.
And that's why you've seen Crime Time doing 3-4 minute matches so far.
Well, yes. And, of course, I know in this day and age, you know, I grew up in an era when the house shows were that was the moneymaker and the TV was just an advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's kind of the reverse. But still, I think that's the house shows would be better. The TVs would make more sense if all the storylines were consistent. But anyway, that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about now. You've got Crime Time. Excuse me.
One thing about Crime Time that gets me up, when they were in OVW, I can't remember the name of the tag team, but it was Shad, and JTG was named the Neighborhoodie. And they changed that when they brought him up and called him JTG. I prefer Neighborhoodie myself. I just kind of like the sound of that. Just had to mention that.
Okay.
But moving on, of course, the next matchup that we're talking about right now is the Women's Championship Tournament Final between Mickey James and Lita.
Mickey James over.
I certainly hope so.
You know what? And Amy is a nice young lady. She's just not a great worker. I mean, but she's not.
No, and I don't think she's gotten a chance.
Everyone talks about Lita the wrestler, and she's not in my top 10.
I remember Lita about 7 years ago, and
if you're going to tell me she was better then, I'm going to have to tell you no, she wasn't.
I'm going to say yeah, I think she was a better wrestler.
She tried harder then.
It's possible.
But seeing a lot of her stuff, especially that moonsault, scares the devil out of me, boy. I mean, that's dangerous. She's dangerous with that. And when I say this, I'm looking at it from a wrestler's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's just not that strong a worker. And I would say now, because she doesn't get a chance. Well, you know, she doesn't get a chance to wrestle that often. You can't keep your timing. You can't keep your rhythm. You can't keep sharp by not getting in the ring.
Right.
No, I mean, that's anybody. I don't care who it is, from Ric Flair down to the worst independent opening match in the history of the world. You can't be good doing it once every so often.
Right.
You know?
And I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
The next match, and I say for these matches where we don't know the opponent, we'll just go for the opponent that we do know, win or lose. We'll go that way. But this one is Umaga. Versus the fans' choice, and they get to choose between Kane, Chris Benoit, or the Sandman.
Wow. Well, I say if they, I don't know who they're going to pick. If they pick the Sandman, I say Umaga. You might say Umaga anyway, but although I'd hate to see him throw Benoit out there this early in the game and put Eddie over, Umaga over, and it's not a personal issue. Although I know both of them personally, it's just a fact that I think Benoit needs to get over now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, apparently they're doing something with he and the Guerreros. God, I don't know what. We're almost up on the anniversary of Eddie's passing.
Right.
And still Eddie's still on TV.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that affects me, but anyway, I would say he's well. I'd say Umaga probably. He won't beat Benoit. If it is, that may end up in a DQ or something. But I'd say if it's Umaga with Kane, he'll probably win. If it's Umaga with Sandman, he'll probably win. Well, with Kane, it'll be the funny thing is, once I think about it, none of the three opponents are on the same show he's on.
No.
So he could virtually beat any of the three of them, I guess.
I would think so, too. I think no matter who wins, I think Umaga's going to keep that supposed undefeated streak going. But let's, you know, for fun's sake, let's take a guess and see who would win as far as the voting for an extra point. Who do you think would win, Kane, Benoit, or Sandman?
Well, since he's already wrestled Kane, I don't think Sandman offers a strong match. If I were voting, I'd vote for Benoit.
You think Benoit?
Yeah.
I think the Sandman is going to get it because Benoit, I mean, that would be a much better match.
Yeah.
If Benoit won it. And like you said, Kane and Umaga have done it, been there. But I think right now at this point, sadly, the Sandman's more popular.
Okay.
As far as...
But I'm looking for what a kind of a quality of match I get. And with him, you just don't get quality at all.
Right.
I don't care who his opponent is. If you're a Sandman fan, I'm sorry. I don't mean to step on your toes or offend you in any way. But as a great wrestler, he's a great plumber. End of story.
Mm-hmm. Next match is for the World Tag Team Championship. It's the Spirit Squad versus Ric Flair and a partner of the fans' choosings. First off, we'll go with Spirit Squad versus Rick and his partner. Who do you think would come up on top?
Well, I don't see him putting those belts on Flair, although they might. With a partner, because the guy, I think most of the people he's got as partners aren't going to be wrestling full time anyway. The picks of partners are who? Dusty
Rhodes, Roddy Piper, and Sergeant Slaughter.
Okay, so then that answers your question without asking it. The Spirit Squad maintains the title.
Very good point. And I'll go along with you on that one. But who do you think would win the popular vote to be Flair's partner?
Probably. You know what? I don't. Wow. With that crowd, with a more predominant WWF, WWE type crowd, Piper probably?
That's what I say, too.
Yeah, probably Piper.
I'd have to go with Piper on that, so we're going to write that down. Next matchup is the Intercontinental Championship with, of course, the champion Jeff Hardy taking on...
These four guys have been playing this game for how long?
Good 3 months.
And do I care?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
No, I really don't.
I never did stop to ask you if you cared.
Well, it comes back to what we were talking at the top of this program, multiple guys in a title, and how many times has this title been on the line with these four guys in a match?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's Hardy's a champion currently, right?
Right.
I don't know. It's Sheldon...
It's Shelton Benjamin, Carlito, and Johnny Nitro.
Nitro, right. Wow.
Do they still call him Johnny Nitro? Yeah, they do. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. See, to me, as you know, I like the baby faces chasing the heels, so I'd probably put the strap back on Nitro or else put it on Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would be what I would do. Chances are they'll probably leave it on Hardy.
So you would say against Hardy?
I would say Hardy will probably keep it.
I'd say Hardy would keep it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that he's going to lose it.
Okay.
And,
Again, you know what? It is so tough for me. When I say it's tough for me, because I look at it as a wrestler, I look at it as what a booker might do that makes sense, and I realize that making sense is not part of the equation.
Right.
You know?
Who do you think will win the popular vote out of that? Carlito, Benjamin, or Nitro?
Probably Carlito.
Definitely, I'm going with Carlito.
Yeah. And I see he's cranking up a... what does he have that you and I don't? I see Torrey's hitting. Is it the fuzzy head?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm thinking of all... there's some studly-looking guys in that company, and why Trish gravitated to him, and now Torrey is gravitating to him, and I'm thinking, okay, whatever.
It's the fro, man. Just like...
Well, that's what I said. It must be the frizzy hair.
God, I forgot his name. Just like Johnny Fairplay, man.
Okay.
You know, Johnny Fairplay's quite the stud, and he's got the fro happening, too.
Oh, well, maybe you and I need to get a fro, then.
I think Carlito actually copied it off of Fairplay. He was a Survivor fan.
I don't know if I can grow a fro or not. Anyway, who wants to wants to see a white-haired fro, anyway. I mean,
it'd be something different.
Yes, it would.
It would be marketable.
Well, but don't anyone hold their breath waiting for that to happen. Because it's not happening, bro.
The next match is a tag team match. It's going to be a DX versus Edge and Randy Orton. Good one. And the choice is who is going to be the referee.
I really care.
It's going to be either Bischoff, Coachman, or McMahon.
It'd probably be Vince. Wouldn't that? I mean, that's kind of almost a no-brainer, isn't it? The fans are voting, though, right?
Right.
Well, you see, as a fan, I wouldn't want to vote for any of these three guys.
I know. You really wouldn't want to. It's like picking the...
Because you figure all three are going to be anti-DX, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I don't know. Gosh, I'm in a lot. Probably Vince.
Do you think it'll be Vince?
Yeah, probably Vince.
I am going to go with
you know, I'm looking, okay, as a fan, and I'm thinking, okay, who of these three guys would I like to see DX beat up? Okay, Vince.
That's true. I'm going to go with Bischoff.
Okay.
On this one.
Do what you like, okay, Don? I would put Orton and Edge over. I think that makes sense. Mm-hmm. If Sean and Hunter are not over by now, it's too late.
Right.
You know, I mean, what I'm saying is they don't need the win.
Right.
To keep their steam, and I think Orton needs a little rub. He's lost some of his steam. Edge, I think, has been the MVP of Raw for, you know, in recent months. I just see them needing the win to keep some fire under this particular feud.
Definitely need it, and I think it would add some spice to DX itself now.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's just,
DX beats 50 guys at the same time.
Right, it's just starting to become, like, tedious and boring.
But you're right, you're right.
So you're going to go with Edge and Orton?
I am.
All right. I am not one to think that WWE is going to do the right thing. So I'm going to go with DX.
Okay.
And even though I totally agree with you.
This, I'm the voice of reason, and you're the voice of...
insanity.
Of whatever, yeah.
And the main event, it's going to be a Champion of Champions match between John Cena... versus Booker T versus The Big Show.
Now, what? But the fans get to decide which belt is on the line, right?
Let's see.
Isn't that the deal?
Yep. Yeah. That's what it is. The
okay.
Fans get to decide
you know
which
what?
Belt.
Again, as a fan, I don't know. I think probably end up Cena's belt on the line, Cena winning.
I'm going to go with you on that one. It seems like...
Because I don't... Although they may do it, it makes no sense in putting one of those three guys having two belts.
Right.
It just makes no sense. Maybe that's what I should go with then. No, I'll go with Cena on both counts, I think.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to go for that too. Don't forget to check it out, guys. Cyber Sunday. It is, of course, Sunday at 8 p.m.
Very good. Cyber Sunday is on
Sunday. This is on Sunday.
This is why you get the big bucks.
That's right. I remembered that because a Taboo Tuesday was on Tuesday.
And I bet Whimsical Wednesday is on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
if there is such a thing.
This head's more than just a hat rack, man. it's November 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Check it out only on pay-per-view, guys.
Right here in the Natty.
That's right. We are going to take a break, guys. When we come back, we're going to have our featured guest on the line, the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. What a storied history this man has. And we're going to be talking all about it, of course. Also going to be discussing what he's got going on right now in the business. And we're going to be talking about that in just a couple of minutes. Stick with us, guys. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher on Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back after this.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW.
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw.
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
News and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Hi, my name's...
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you here at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, our featured guest on this special Halloween edition of Wrestling Weekly, the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant. As I said earlier in the show, he has a storied history, and we're going to be talking all about that. And, Jimmy, I want to start off because you were raised in the same town I was raised in.
You're kidding,
bro. So we have something in Hammond, Indiana.
Hammond, Indiana, my goodness. First of all, man, whoo, Mr. Booger Hooker, man, feel good. I'm so glad to be right here with you, Doc and Les. God bless you both, man. And I didn't know that, Doc, man. Oh, man, is that right, Hammond?
Yes, it was a great town.
Yes, great town, brother. You know, I was actually born in Tullahoma, Tennessee, but of course, it's all in my autobiography what I talk about. But Hammond, that's where I was raised. My family moved up, you know, just like so many other Southern people, to up north to migrate to get work, you know, to raise their family. And you know, there's five kids, and we all moved up north. And everybody knows, or if they don't, they'll know now. But Hammond is as far north as you can get in Indiana, right on Lake Michigan, and you can be downtown Loop, Chicago, in 30 minutes. So my father hooked up there with Ford Motor Company in Hegwisch, Illinois, just across the line, Hegwisch, Illinois,
But I was raised right there, Hammond, Indiana, and you were too. Well,
yeah,
man.
I don't think they have that that Ford company anymore out there.
You know, I don't know. It was a assembly plant, I know, and then they Chicago Heights, they had the stamping plant, but I have no idea. But my father worked there for 30-something years, man.
Wow. They,
who broke you in, Jimmy?
Tell me that again, Les.
Who broke you in the business?
Okay, I was raised right there in Hammond, Les, and I was just a young kid, man, and I worked for a health club in Calumet City, which Doc knows is right there, right next door, you know. And I was managing a club. I was like 21 years old, and one of the Volkoffs brothers, which his real name it was Frank Zila, and his partner was Steve Gobb, which was the other
right.
Boris and Boris and Nikolai Volkoff, and he was the old time ref. They were the one that broke me in right there, you know.
You broke in 64, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
So when you and I met 37 years ago, you'd been in the business just a little less than 5 years. In 69, you just.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. It was. Yes. Yes.
Doc, we first met in Tennessee as this big, handsome young blonde guy with muscles all over this. It wouldn't have been the same boogie woogie man you would have recognized.
Yeah, and Doc, and you wouldn't recognize Les either, man. What a good-looking heartthrob, brother. I mean, had that blonde hair, man, and I'm telling you, the hottest baby face in the nation right there. Nick Goulas, and I'll tell you something, Les. Hey, man, you were a heartthrob. I mean, all the girls were all over him, man. Hey, and you had it going on, man. I mean, you were really, really on top of your game, my man.
See, Les, we really do relate, me and you, Les, because that's kind of how I am right now.
Yeah,
you go,
right.
Man.
Okay, Doc. Okay. Jimmy, where did the whole boy from New York City, that whole thing started in Memphis, right? I mean, the music?
Oh, yeah, the music did, yeah. First of all, in like 1971, I went to New York and Vince Senior put me with Beautiful Bobby Harmon, not Beautiful Bobby Eaton. So it was Handsome Jimmy and Beautiful Bobby, and we came out to music for the first time in Madison Square Garden as a tag team with the Grand Wizard. And the Grand Wizard remembered Gorgeous George, you know, coming out on TV to music years ago, but nobody's ever, and he only done it a few times, but no one ever done it, you know, in New York, and so he suggested that, so that was the first time, and I remembered that, and then when I went to Memphis, and I made a couple records, there was Sun Studio with Sam Phillips, and then, well, then, with Jimmy Hart as doing, so I came out to music there. Still as Handsome Jimmy, but where the music really took off was that, like in 1980, 81, when I went to Mid-Atlantic and the Boogie Woogie Man was born. I reinvented myself from Handsome Jimmy Valiant to the Boogie Woogie Man Jimmy Valiant. That's when the music really hit, and they had a real hot song out, the Boy from New York City at that time, and the Manhattan Transfer, so I told Crockett, man, put this on, let me come out to music, because, hey, Les, nobody was coming out to music,
you're
you
right.
know. Exactly. So I said, man, let me come out to music, you know, and this and that. And then, of course, after that took off, and then, you know, Flair and Rhodes and everybody, you know, was using music here. And
let's back up a little. You were talking about the Wiz, Ernie Roth. There was a guy that young wrestlers could learn. I mean, he had a brilliant mind for this business.
Oh, brother, you got that right. He helped me so much, man. He was my mentor, man, and you better believe it. And I talk about it in my autobiography so much about Ernie, you know, helping me out in many different times. Because I met him, you know, in just like I met you in the 60s, you know, late 60s, when I went to Detroit with the Sheik, and, of course, he was his manager, you
right.
know. But he did, yes, my goodness, man, he had so much knowledge, and he told me, I shot a big angle, man, one time, I never forget it, I talk about in my book, you know, where Vince took me and switched me heel, man, there in Philadelphia, and against Strongbow, because he's my tag team partner, and he says, Jimmy, man, I know this thing got over, he says, because when I seen it happen, I feel it, man, you know, and I get big chill bumps, you know, all over my body, and And he says, look at my arms right now. You know, this was after the angle was shot,
right.
Man. And brother, hey, he was just so terrific. What a, God bless him, man. I love him so much.
Yeah, he was, you know, Harmon just lives 15 minutes from me here.
Oh, I know it, I know it, I know he does, man. And I see him from time to time, you know, when I go up that way, up there towards Cincinnati. And man, he still looks good, and hey, he can still work, man.
You are about 2 years younger than me, but you have finally hung it up. Now, is this a retirement legit, or are you going to do like Terry Funk and come out of retirement?
No, brother, I am. I'm completely done, Les, and I'll tell you, I just like you, you know, of course, you started before I did, but, man, I wrestled 40 years. I had 10,000 matches. I drove 4 million miles on U.S. highways, man, and enough is enough, brother, you know. And I talk about it all in my autobiography, Woo Mercy Daddy. And the whole deal is, brother, that I now that I am on a book signing tour, you know, and I told my lovely wife, Angel, I said, man, I'll be on this book signing tour. It'll last forever, man. You know, I mean, you know, I can do it for the next 10 years. But I do. I go to somewhere every week. I was telling Doc a little earlier. I go somewhere every weekend, you know, a match or I set up a book signing or someone, whatever. But I will go, Les, and I'll be a special referee for
right.
one match, or I'll be a manager, or I'll do something, or an announcer. I'll do something because, man, I want to be a good will ambassador for this great sport of ours, professional wrestling. So I'll do anything that it takes. But as far as getting back in the ring, no Terry Funk, brother. No, I'm not. Hey, I retired, and I'm done. My boots are hanging on the rafter right
good
now, brother.
Let's talk about now. You and Johnny were a strong tag team for Vince in New York, and now tag teams, as far as WWE is concerned, are almost an afterthought, which is a shame. And the actual art of tag team wrestling is fading out, man.
It sure is, you know, and also managers, they don't use managers either,
right.
and it is a shame, I'm telling you, because it's such a great, you know, addition, man, to you know, the card. I mean, my goodness, and so many different things you can do with the tag team, and so many combinations, and brother, man, you better believe it, you know. Johnny and myself, we were together 5 years, you know, and were WWF tag team champions, you know, in 1974, and held them over a year, something like 15 months, and at that time it was the longest WWF champions held the belts. But we were together 5 good years, man. We went out to Frisco, you know, with Shires. We went to Atlanta for Barnett, you know. Of course, we went to WWA for Bruiser, you know, and of course New York, and it was just a great run. But I had many other tag team partners too, you know.
Right.
You know, I team up with. But tag team, it's a lost art, like you said, Les, and it's a shame, man. You know, and just like I have a wrestling camp here in Charlottesville, Virginia. And anybody check it out, JimmyValiant.com, and I want to invite you, Les, which I have so many times, and you, Doc, and anybody else, come any Sunday from 12 to 4. Be my guest. There's no charge once you get here. I got a Hall of Fame. I got a museum. Les Thatcher, you're in my Hall of Fame, brother. I got you right there, 8x10.
Well, I'm going to make a trip up there.
Please, brother. Please, brother. And I want to invite anybody. Come, please be my guest and spend a day with us, 12 to 4. Watch the kids train. We have matches, and there's no charge. You pay no ticket. You come in and visit me and Angel and just spend a day with us. But it's a lost art. Like what I do, I teach my kids here at camp, you know. I teach the old school, you know. But I teach the new school too, you know, because if you don't teach the old school, Les, I know you do too, it's going to be a lost art, just like this tag teams, you know, business.
Right.
And the managers at WWE, they don't use. It's going to be a lost art. But you got to teach the new school too, because if you don't, you get lost in the shuffle. You got to keep it up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Both things.
When you were in the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, you wrestled one of my all-time favorite wrestlers, a man that I was sorry I never got to meet, Andre the Giant.
Oh, brother, God bless him.
Tell me about Andre.
Oh, Superman, you know, I mean, you know, a guy that was so huge, you know, and him and Stacks, hey, Stacks, you know, they were just giant of men, of course, Monsoon and all these big cats, man, you know, but Andre, you know, it was something for him. People don't realize this, you know, that just to go and check in a hotel and lay down in a bed where his feet's hanging over, you know, and
right.
he couldn't take a shower in a regular shower. You know, people don't realize this. He couldn't take a bath. I mean, he's too big. You know, what hardships that he went just living, you know, the normal life and getting to town to town and of course, you know, just doing his thing, man, you know, far as traveling and getting there and that. But you know what, Doc, I never heard him complain one time, and I know Les hasn't either. He was just jolly and laughing and what a super go-lucky cat, man. And, oh, I loved him, man. I loved him, and so did Les, I know.
Yeah, he was, and you're right. You know, the first time I ever traveled with him was in Charlotte in, gosh, I guess 71 or 72. And for 1 week, he rode with me about four or five times. And I'm thinking, my God, because everybody is just, I mean, constantly staring at him, asking the same goofy questions over, what's the air like up there? And so, and he was always just so polite to everybody and was such a gentleman. And I'm knowing he's at some point he had to be thinking, shut up, I don't want to hear it again.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Pick him up by the neck and say, I don't know, you tell me, what's it like up here?
Yeah, brother, you bet.
He was a good guy, he really was.
Super, super.
We got some questions going on in our live chat room. We've got a lot of listeners in there, and they want to know some things about Jimmy Valiant. Professor VNS says, what's the story behind the Charlie Brown gimmick that you used to do? And did you get any heat from the comic strip Peanuts?
Yeah, you know, Charlie Brown, brother, is something that I was, of course, the Boogie Woogie Man, and I had the big long beard, you know, going, and the music, and I'd come out kissing everybody and dancing and hugging, and, you know, man, I'd go come out to the ring, and I'd kiss men, women, children, green, black, blue, purple, it didn't matter, young, grandma, grandpa, it didn't matter, you know, and that was the Boogie Woogie Man, you know, and so then when I lost the Master Kabuki and it was like a loser leave town, of course, with Playboy Gary Hart, you know, as his manager. And so when I left, you know, and I came right back under the hood, and the mask had the whole from the nose down, the chin, the mouth, everything was exposed. So the big long beard came hanging down, and it was a great angle, brother, man, because loser leave for 6 months, so it only happened 6 months, man. But then everybody knew that it was, you know, Boogie Woogie. But, you know, I know Johnny Weaver, the announcer, and he says, hey, look, it says right here it's Charlie Brown from out of town. So if you think that's Jimmy Valiant, you're going to have to take his mask off, you know.
Right.
So anyway, it got over like, you know, $1 million. And, you know, it's funny, Doc, because you know, I wrestled over 40 years, so that only happened for a short 6 months, but people still talk about that, you know. I was Jimmy Valiant for 39 and a half years out there, you know, and Charlie Brown for 6 months, but it was a hot deal, man. And, I talk about all this, everything we talk about so far, you know, up in my autobiography, Woo Mercy Daddy, which, you know, it's not in the bookstores, you know, and I wrote it myself with Angel, you know, and took us 5 years to do this. It's a big book. It weighs 3 pounds, man. It's 566 pages. And I says, man, hey, I tell people, hey, buy two copies, get one in each hand, and do curls with them or something. Work out with them, you know. But you can only get it through JimmyValiant.com. So check it out, or you can come here to BWC Boogie's Wrestling Camp Hall of Fame Museum any Sunday. 52 Sundays a year, pick one up in person, or you can get one when I go out to my autograph session. And no matter how, or if you have a book, you know, it's not like getting it from a store, because each book will be personally autographed to you.
Awesome. That sounds good. Yeah, that's 500-something pages. That's a big book, man. You could sell those to you know, Catholic schools, and they could punish the children with them and have them hold their arm out and hold one of Jimmy Valiant's books in each hand for half
baby.
An hour.
There you go, Doc.
Jimmy's talking about the book signings and so forth.
Yeah.
One of the things that I want to say that really helped this guy get over, and a lot of the, and he will tell you, both of us being baby faces, a lot of the baby faces weren't people persons, but Jimmy loved the fans. He bonded with them, and this was a whole, the era then was, if Jimmy got hurt, you know, you go out, hit the towns, and people start sending cookies back, Mrs. Jones from Roanoke, somebody send get well cards. It was a whole different era at that time, but that was one of the I thought unique things with Jimmy is he was so bonded with the fans that I think that was one of the things that really helped get him over too.
You bet, you know, and I'll tell you, I mean, because that's our backbone. I mean, the fans are everything, you know. I mean, they pay our salary, man. They, you know, they buy your pictures. They, you know, if you're popular and brother, you know, I got time for them, and I took time for them. And many times, you know, I would be there even after everything's over signing autographs and, brother, I'm telling you, I mean, I wouldn't leave, you know, the arena until everybody had what they wanted from me, you know, and because I knew, brother, and it did. It I just loved it, but of course, I'm that type of person anyway, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it seems like they brought out your own personality a little bit and just let you run with who you were.
Yeah, you know, Doc, but, you know, years ago, you know, like today, you know, the bad guys, they come down, man, and they're cheering for them, man, and the good guys, they cheering for them. They cheer for everybody, brother, but it was cut and dry. You know, in the 60s and 70s, I was Handsome Jimmy Valiant, and I was a bad cat, man, and I mean, hey, Les knows how that is, because he worked both sides, too, and, hey, man, you'd have to hide your car, you know. I never did have a car that wasn't keyed, you know, that scratched or windows broken out or cut the tires, and, hey, I've been burnt with cigarettes. I've been cut, man. I've done it all, and I used to, go, and I couldn't take my little girls. I had three little girls, you know. I couldn't take them to school. I couldn't go to church with them, you know, because I was a bad cat, you know. I didn't want to put the heat on them, you know. I didn't want to be teased. I didn't want no heat there. So I tell them when they go to school with their mother, and I says, just tell them, you know, when we go to, you know, to Tulsa or to Dallas or another territory, just say, you know, their father's a traveling salesman or something. So I wouldn't associate with my family, you know, out there in public, because I didn't want them to go through what I had to go through every night, you know. And it was cut and dry, man. Either, man, years ago, Les knows, you know, man, hey, they loved you, man, or it was a good guy or a bad guy.
Right.
Now, man, hey, they cheer for everything, man. It's crazy, man.
Now they're celebrities, no matter what they do in the ring. They're,
exactly.
They're celebrities.
Yeah. Man, we got serious heat years ago. I'm telling you, Les will tell you all about it, brother. I mean, you know, you're fighting for your life, man, and many, many times, you know, and you're right, brother.
So I guess you prefer, you know, being a good guy more.
Yeah, well, you know, it didn't matter. I mean, I enjoyed that part, you know, and I was young, man, and, you know, you can take it and you can get it. And then, of course, you know, I reinvented myself, you know, and grew the long beard and became the boogie-woogie man and for the next 20 years and did that. And, of course, it was easier on me, you know. And God bless guys like Ivan Koloff, you know, me and Ivan and Paul Jones and Ole Anderson, we're the exact same age. We was all born in August 1942, you know, and guys like Ole and Paul too. There at the end, he was of course a good guy most of his career. But Ivan, man, for 40 years that guy was a bad cat, man, and you know he had to take all them big bumps. And man, he's up there even after in his 50s up there on top and wanting to be slammed off, you know. So it's a lot harder on you know when you get older to do something like that.
Yeah. We got some more questions from the chat room. DiCapo, he's got two questions for you. He says, how did you like working with Rufus Jones? And talk about the Boogeyman Jam. Explain the vision, and did Crockett make it what it was planned?
Okay, you know, the freight train man, you know, he was godfather to my son, you know, Handsome Jimmy Jr., you know, and man, he was just such a super cat, man. We'd play cards. He was a great card player in the back room, man, you know, you go over to his house, man, and he always say, you want a drink of water? You want some cold water in the fridge, man, you know, and he'd have a big jug in there of moonshine, you know. But he's just a great, great man. God bless him, man. I had so much fun with him on the road, you know, good cribbage player and a good performer in the ring. I was his tag team partner, man, and we had good, great times, man.
Rufus was all personality, wasn't he?
You bet, brother,
yeah,
man. He had it. He sure was, man, and he could do it and get it, man, and just a great man. And as far as the Boogeyman Jam, it was a real hot deal there, and it was the Boogie Jam 84, 1984, and that's where the Assassins of Paul Jones, I went against Paul Jones and his army for it's probably one of the longest running feuds in wrestling history. It lasted over 5 years in the Mid-Atlantic area. So one of these feuds with Paul Jones, he had the Assassins, and I was after him with all kinds of partners. I mean, from Dusty Rhodes to Andre the Giant, man, we all tried to get the Assassins, I'm going for the mask, of course, because they've never been unmasked. So I'm working with them like 9 months, and finally they tied me up on TV, they held me down and tied me in the ropes, and Paul Jones cut my beard off. So that's when I disappeared for a while, and I was low, and they found me in Skid Row on the street, man. Boogeyman's low, you know, and they took something that belonged to me. I did that interview. You know, usually I'm, whoo, make the boogie woogie man feel good. I tell my people, my brothers, don't you dare miss this one. You know, I'm smoking, you know, in the interviews, but here I'm, Boogeyman's low, you know, but low as you can go. I'm down, you know, in the gutter, you know. He, Paul Jones, the Assassin, you know. I'm real mellow and down, you know. Anyway, so it was the people, man. They perked their ears up, and man, you know, it's not the same cat, man, you know. And no beard, you know, the beard's gone. And so anyway, so what I did was put my hair up, you know, against the Assassin's mask. So now the people's going to see every night that we wrestle, they're going to either see that I'm going to get my hair shaved, my head shaved, you know, or we're going to see who the Assassin is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, brother, it was box office, big time box office stuff, man. And we broke attendance records everywhere, you know. And man, we took that around to all the clubs, man, and we took the mask off. And Paul Jones was either up in the cage up high, you know, the other Assassin was barred from the ring, and so it's just me one on one, you know, or Paul Jones would be tied to handcuffed to Dusty Rhodes or handcuffed to Magnum or something would be, you know, out of place where it's just me and the Assassin one-on-one, and, man, it just popped.
Awesome. Marquise J says, can you share a story from your AWA days when there were so many top tag teams around, like the Crusher and the Bruiser, Harley Race and Larry Henning?
Yeah, man, AWA, one of the greatest territories, a guy in your great, great payoff guy, you know, me and Luscious Johnny went in, Handsome Jimmy, Luscious Johnny, the Valiant Brothers went in, and in the mid-70s, and the tag team there that we worked with for 9 months was the Canadians, one was Joe LeDuc, and the other one was Larry the Axe Henning, you know, Mr. Perfect's father. And
right.
They were called the Lumberjacks. That's what I'm trying to get, the Lumberjacks. And of course, the other tag team, the High Flyer, was there. Was Gagne and Brunzell, you know. But we were the only heel team in there. And, of course, we worked with both of them, but we had a great run in there. And they had Crusher and the Bruiser, yes. Yeah, they would come in, and of course, in Chicago is where WWA and the AWA would combine both both offices, and I was over in Chicago so strong from being with Dick the Bruiser, you know, in Annapolis territory. So all that takes went in for years there, you know, and Bruiser was my mentor, too. He was my first mentor, you know, after the Volkoffs. And so then Gagne, you know, going in from there, another TV. So Chicago was a great, we wrestled at the amphitheater at Halsted Street, man, and it was jamming there.
Awesome. One last thing before we get out of here. They're asking for your craziest Luke Graham story, besides the one about his mother, they said.
Oh, brother, crazy Luke Graham. Crazy Luke you talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Crazy Luke, man, I got a good story in my autobiography, man, and many stories about him. But one is, man, we were upstate New York, man, and it was Christmas time, and he's got the long blonde hair. I got the long hair, and, man, I'm like 250, 60, and he's about like 260, 70, and we were, of course, with Vince up there, and he had a tag team partner, Tarzan Tyler, but me and him was in this bar, and we were just walking in, and we're walking out, and a drunk guy, man, we're leaving, and a drunk guy's coming in, you know, and he looks at us, and he says, "Oh, look at the two effing Santa Clauses," you know, to me, and he's got the long goatee, and he's in front of me, and he stops. And, man, I see him getting the veins in his neck pop out, and he's getting real red. I know, man, he's hot, man, you know. Mm-hmm. So he starts walking again, and without right in stride, man, he punches this drunk right in the nose, knocks him down, you know. And man, oh, Jesus. So we leave. So I'm talking to him. I says, "Brother, can you imagine this drunk now crawling into the bar, because we're gone, and he's crawling in and telling everybody, 'Hey, two Santa Claus, or Santa Claus just beat me up.'" You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And I says, "You know what? They probably will believe him, because I'll tell you why. Because he had a big red nose, just like Rudolph. You know, and he could have he could have guided Santa's sleigh that night, man."
That's good. We're running out of time, but hey, guys, don't forget to check out Jimmy's website. It's jimmyvaliant.com. That's where you can get his autobiography. It's called "Woo Baby Daddy."
Woo, Mercy Daddy.
Mercy Daddy.
Welcome to my world of Jimmy Valiant story.
Awesome. Jimmy, I want to thank you for being here tonight. We've had a great interview, and hopefully we can talk to you again soon.
Please.
We didn't really get to mention, so please plug your training camp.
Yes. Same thing, jimmyvaliant.com, and all the information is there to map how to get there, and please come be my guest, and pick up that book, man, and God bless everybody, and come and visit the Boogie Woogie Man any Sunday, and God bless you, Doc and Les. I love you both, and please, anytime, brother, call me, and I'll do anything you all want.
Jimmy, always a pleasure. My best to the wife, and look forward to seeing you somewhere down the road real soon.
Same yours, and same to your wife, brother. God
bless
you,
babe.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Jimmy.
Bye-bye.
Jimmy Valiant here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. That's going to wrap things up. We are going to get out of here. Like we said, Kevin Kleinrock is going to be on the show next week from Big Vision Entertainment. He's got the skinny on Wrestling Society
X. We're going to get out of here on time for a change.
Absolutely, yes.
That's cool.
Yes, I'm getting better at this producer thing and looking at the clock.
My God, I may live to see the day. All right, so we got Clevin. I can't even talk. Kevin confirmed for Clevin confirmed for next week.
I would say it's 90%, man. Keep checking the website, WrestlingWeekly.com,
right.
Guys. Also check out ObsessedWithWrestling.com. They have all the great stuff, bios, galleries, lots of fun over there at Obsessed with Wrestling.
Yeah. Brad does a heck of a job.
Les, I hope you had a great birthday. And we'll see you. I'll talk to you again next week.
You sure will, and we've enjoyed it, man. We'll see you all next week.
Bye-bye, guys.
Now get the guns, the drugs, from my generation. I'll take the fall, the state, and across the nation, and it's a state.